Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour two, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. We're live at Hurtado in Arlington. Would love to see you here and experience some of the best barbecue in the world, the best barbecue in the world, if you ask me. It's time now, though, for the NFL news of the day. And here's our guy, Wolchuk.
Yesterday, we did have the story of Adam Schefter, who's asked, like, what's the weirdest time you've ever broken news? And it happened to be during sexy time. We were wondering, like, do you think this happens a lot? Well, Jay Glazer yesterday said, well, bleep Adam, who hasn't? And then Clarence Hill, quote, tweeted and said, exactly. This is happening more than we thought, boys.
I don't think I could do this job.
No.
You know,
no.
I need to unplug.
Yeah, yeah. Being an insider 24/7 with the way the news breaks now and it's all about being first, I mean, that is just a...
You can never clock out.
It's a miserable existence, man. It really is. That would be, like, in all the media jobs that you could have... That would be the worst. I know if you're Schefter, it's lucrative and you're making bank and all that stuff, but I just, my gosh, I don't know how that's sustainable where you go a full career, 20, 30, 40 years of living that kind of life. And does he keep a marriage alive? Or how do you, I don't understand how you do any of that.
It's got to be a giant compensation package.
Mm. You just keep pointing to the direct deposit to your wife. You're like, sugar.
Hey, I mean, are you comfortable? Yeah, are you living a happy lifestyle right now?
Do we have more Amazon boxes at the door? Honey, did you just punch the ticket for another one that's on its way? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
You know, a guy that I kind of feel like that might not never be home and his family's probably okay is Kurt Herbstreit. He seems like he's always gone, you know? Yeah. Like,
well, during football season?
Yeah, I mean, he is always gone, you know? And I wonder the same thing for a guy like Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan does, like, he's doing, like,
for Harlan even more because
he does a CBS game.
Monday. NFL, night. And then NBA. Like, there's no offseason
I met his wife. Super nice lady. I mean,
but total smoke, right? Isn't that what you said?
Oh, she's very pretty lady. Very pretty
he
lady.
He smells incredible, by the way. He came into the Brad Sham booth the other day.
Oh, did
we
he?
Got to talk to him.
Oh, my
God. Oh, he was smelling fantastic.
Whatever you imagine he smells like, it's 1,000 times better.
Gosh. Mahogany.
Yeah.
Cigar.
He's gone the whole time. I'm sure his family's just like... As long as the checks show up, and you're right. I mean, how many packages?
Okay.
Yeah, we're all right. Dad's out on the road calling NBA games. Westwood won Monday Night Football, and, you know. Yeah.
Going viral once or twice a week.
Yeah, yeah. Great
call. Some of these guys are grinders, though, like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. They couldn't get enough, right? And other guys would be like, oh, my goodness, I'm burnt out.
Too
I need
much.
A break. And they stay in it, you know, 24. Skip Bayless, same way. Never got a family. Obviously, be impossible to live with. Did all of his meal prep early Mondays so he could have them all frozen to maximize his amount of work. He wanted to work like 18 hours a day and didn't want to take the time in any day for meal prep. So they were all like loaded up in his fridge and his freezer.
I'll tell you what.
And he was just on it, you know. And I know Skip said a lot of regrettable things and nobody likes him, but I always respected the hell out of that.
I'll tell you what, his brother is a hell of a cook.
Really?
Rick Bayless.
Oh, yeah.
Southwest, anything with Hispanic flair to it. Rick Bayless is like a top chef in this country.
Never knew.
Southwest flavor, and they can't stand each other.
Like he, oh, that's not a surprise.
He does not talk about
his brother.
He seems
like a little bit tough.
But he can, oh, yeah. But Rick, his brother, is a hell of a chef.
Probably not a lot of love in that family growing up.
No, I mean, I've heard him talk about, like, his mom and, like, how he
a lot of the alcoholism in the family.
Yeah, he has no love for his mom, a true broken home situation. Yeah. But he alleges, Skip Bayless alleges, that he's never missed a single LeBron James dribble.
Wow. Well, there's no way.
Okay. So, I mean, but that's how he really, like, leapt into the national stratosphere, was just by hating on LeBron.
He did.
Wow. So he's surrounded. He's probably got, like, a man cave with a million TVs in there. And he told his wife before they got married, like, you will always be number two to my work. Like, he set that standard from the jump.
It was
you talk about the meal prepping. He's just grilled chicken and broccoli. That's him.
He's a tiny guy. Ooh. He is a tiny man.
He did, seems like a small guy.
He's strong, though.
He's absolutely.
I'm not sure I could take him.
No, I couldn't. Hell no.
Micah just talked to the media there at the Star and apologized.
Whoa, he didn't get fined
for his comments about Mike McCarthy.
What?
So he was just like angry and didn't think they'd get taken out of context. Like that wasn't what he meant to say. The way that it was.
I didn't
spun.
See anything wrong with that.
It's like 2-3 weeks later now. He's. Yeah.
It's a week.
Well, he said he didn't phrase it properly. He said he was in a hurry.
Yeah.
Post game, and
he should have phrased it better. And
well, at least he's seen the light on that, because he immediately came out and was like calling us insane for twisting his words. When it's like, no, this is what you said. I'm glad he eventually saw the light on that. Good for him.
Yeah. Now Dan Campbell was asked recently.
Do you feel like you're in the third quarter of a Cowboy game right now?
I do. Don't throw me a pass.
Yeah,
do not throw me.
You guys are in the glare.
I'm about to whistle one right at you. See if you catch it
between the eyes.
So Dan Campbell's asked about, like, what's the most important thing a head coach does, and here was Man Campbell.
Oh, man, the most important thing that a head coach does is hire his staff. And it's about your staff and the people around you, because without the right staff, you are nothing, in my opinion.
There you go.
At least I know for sure for me. You have to lean on those guys. And so be able to get him back is huge, man. He's a hard worker. He's creative. He's smart. He knows how to communicate. And he alleviates a lot of pressure on me. You know, I sleep real good at night knowing that he's the head of that offense.
Now, obviously, talking about Ben Johnson, who is their offensive coordinator, and 100%, you would assume that that would be, like, item number one, make sure I got my staff in order.
Andy Reid, he'd say the same damn thing.
Problem is, sometimes here with the Cowboys, it's like, yeah, you can hire your staff, but, oh, there's a guy in Kellen Moore that you need to have as well as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
You know, I think that, I don't think we're going to have that problem this time around. Maybe Al Harris. I mean, I don't know. And some of these coaches are good coaches. Like, maybe you do want them to stick around. But, again, that is already, before you really even had a chance to take the job, a problem where you should be able to have the end-all, be-all say on, this is my staff. You're hiring me for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am going to decide. Don't push a Kellen Moore on me if I don't want to have Kellen Moore as my
guy. Can I tell you why I would I appreciate what you just did, but if you're incapable of hiring a good staff, I'm not going to let you do it.
Well, then I'm not hiring
you as my coach. Yeah, I'm not going to hire you as the head coach to begin with.
You're damn right then.
Right.
No, if I can't, and I'm not asking to have a say, but you, if you go out there and hire all your buddies that can't coach, and our team sucks because of that, I'm not letting you hire coaches.
Yeah, then get out of here.
They fell into Dan Quinn, you know. Mike McCarthy probably didn't want Dan Quinn. You know, they get rid of his buddy Mike Nolan. Jim Tomsula's out the door. I mean, Jerry had to pay probably $3-4 million of coaches just going out the door, of bad hires. So to me, If you're Dan Campbell and you tell me who your staff is and I could go and vet your staff, then I'm all for it. I'm probably going to hire you. But if you're Mike McCarthy and you're bringing in all your buddies and none of these dudes can coach, then I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the job.
On top of the ability to coach, there is something to having a leader who is energized by the authority and the autonomy, right?
Yep.
And knowing that I can put my vision into action here. And the more that you involve and include that head coach and give him that freedom, I think the better his ideas are.
Yes.
You know, I think the stronger his energy and work ethic is. If he's frustrated, like Mike McCarthy often is, when you go home, you want to get away from it. When you are activated and energized and confident and empowered, you're so excited about the opportunity, you don't want to let people down.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a massive downside to how the front office manages coaches here.
I'm with you 100% on that, and that'll be a huge key, you know, going through this next, assuming Mike is gone.
Hire guys that are smarter than you. Hire smarter guys than you. Guys and gals, both. I mean, we have them on staffs now.
And preferably find somebody who speaks with that deep, full flex in the throat that Dan Campbell kid does, you know?
Like a boat.
Like the Navy SEAL accent.
Yeah.
You know, you start talking. You're going to get guys to resonate a little bit more with
that,
you.
That deep swing southern through, girl. Swing them through Men's T Clinic, get those T levels up.
And absolutely.
That voice will lower. It's 100% true, though. I mean, what would Campbell be right now without Ben Johnson? I wonder. And I don't
Aaron
remember.
Aaron Glenn.
I don't remember who. There was a couple guys ahead of him. Like, it wasn't like Ben Johnson was his first choice. He swung and missed on a couple of guys and was like, okay, I get Ben Johnson, and it's worked out in a huge way for him. Things probably go a completely different direction without him. Mm. And Dan Quinn right now with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, that's been a home run hire for him.
Absolutely, it has been. And DQ, look, both stops he's gone to now as a head coach, he's hired a good OC with Shanahan and now Cliff. Now we'll see how the rest of the season goes with the Commanders, but it's looking like a good hire right now. We've got an interesting burglary deal at the homes of Kansas City Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. NFL's reportedly issued a security threat to all teams, according to Tom Pelissero.
Inside jobs.
Yeah, league issued a memo to team security directors and the players union revealing the FBI is investigating a recent crime spree where organized criminals target the homes of professional athletes. So be careful out there.
Yeah, because they know your schedule. They know when the Chiefs are playing out of town, and they know that their house is just sort of a sitting duck to some extent. I think they're doing extensive research, you know, on the front end of this. These guys are dialed. They're alleging it's like a South American cartel situation. And it's not just these two. It's multiple athletes in multiple different sports that have been targeted. Bobby Portis in the NBA, Mike Conley Jr. in the NBA. So this is and so they're basically saying, like, hey, social media wise, don't be checking into places. Like, they have a whole what not to do list.
Yeah, I saw Duke Manyweather was talking, like, this is also a problem with friends, family that you're around, and everything's going on social media. Now everybody can see exactly where you are when you're there. And when now it's the prime time to go ahead and break into said residence. I know they're not there.
Over the years, it's been a trend or a theme. I think that's how Sean Taylor got murdered. They thought he was gone.
Yes, that's right. And he ended up being at the house.
So, yeah, I think, like, armed security with $40, $50 million salaries if you're a top star. I mean, even at $20 million, you know, a couple
dudes.
There's
no way those European soccer players do what they do without security. I mean, there's no way that the Messi and those – I mean, there's no way that they even get around without having security, the best security at their homes and stuff like
that. I'm sure they've leveled it up now at the Mahomes residence, at the Kelce residence. You probably live in a gated community that's got some, you know, fair amount of security, and you have cameras, and you think, like, you're
in
a good spot.
How about a check-in area?
Somebody on the premises at all times, maybe.
I'm thinking guard dogs.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have Dan Campbell on a leash out in front of your house.
Or maybe just a real damn lion. Like, hey, don't come in here.
I'd take Campbell over the real lion, but
I
get what you're going. Yeah,
I mean, maybe the biting of the kneecaps. He is the manimal. All right, let's get to Steelers and Browns Thursday Night Football tonight. Have I taken the Steelers, by the way, Brian?
Oh, I can look.
Yeah, look for me. It's going to be a disgusting.
I saw you look it up.
Night of football. Mix of rain and snow is expected to begin at 2 o'clock in Cleveland, Ohio, our time.
Love it.
A few showers are expected to begin. Increase to light rain, then a mixy condition of rain and snow.
Survivor pool, hang on.
About an hour before kickoff there. It's going to continue until about 1 a.m. So throughout the game, we're going to have mixed wintry snow, rain. I'm probably leaning Steelers here
you
if
have
I have not
taken them.
Put me down for Pittsburgh. I mean, they just won a damn game kicking all field goals.
I'm jumping on the Chuck wagon, too. Going with the Steelers.
Okay, yeah. Dawson, you can pick the Steelers.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Well,
Eric, you want to go?
The ugly game definitely favors Pittsburgh.
I think it favors Pittsburgh 100%. Yeah. They got a better defense, and even Najee and Jalen Warren have been running the football.
Eric, you're free to do
it's
it.
In Cleveland?
It's in Cleveland.
You're free to do it,
Steelers' history against the Browns is very, very good.
You got the dog pound situation.
Not worried.
You've got, I mean, I think it might be the great equalizer here because the better team would rather have great weather, and now there's less elements to have to worry about. I'm just better than you. Now all of a sudden my guys are slipping around, and there's snow in my eyeballs, and there goes a Browns player to the house.
And it's the Steelers. I mean, they're used to this. They like this dirty type of game.
I think if I was Cleveland, I'd wear my all-white uniforms. Maybe blend in with the snow.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, the problem is Jameis. Now he's got LASIK, so maybe he would see you.
Eric, you're free to take Pittsburgh if you want.
I'll consider it.
Sounds like he's thinking about
it. You could also take the Cleveland Browns if you want.
You could take the Browns. You want to take the Browns, go for the Brownies.
I think I'm the only idiot this year that has taken the Browns, and that was against the Raiders.
Did they win that game?
No, it was down to the damn goal line.
Of course, yeah, of course they didn't win that game. Of course they didn't.
There was a huge Amari Cooper touchdown that got called back.
Got called back.
That's right. Yeah. Gosh, that sucks.
And crooks.
All right, our buddy Stink, Mark Schlereth, was on FS1 yesterday, and he is just ripping the New York Giants. This is pretty good stuff. I love listening to Stink. You can catch him every Tuesday at 4:40 in the G-Bag Nation. Here's Stink on just the disgusting nature of the Giants organization.
This is why the Giants suck. Drew Lock has been your backup quarterback for the entirety of the season, right? He was the guy, if Daniel Jones was going to get hurt, he was the guy that was going in. He was good enough to do that for you for the entirety of this season. But as soon as you decide to bench Daniel Jones, you decide to go with the sideshow, Tommy Cutlets. Because why? Because your fan base will get excited? Like, to me, this is the biggest issue. You're a bad franchise. You need to attract free agents to come to your franchise. If I'm a free agent player, and all things being equal from a money standpoint, I look at this clown show versus some other team, I'm not going to the Giants. That's a clown show. That guy worked all year to be the backup, to get his opportunity. He signed there to have an opportunity because he knew Daniel Jones was questionable. And at the 11th hour, you decide, no, we're going to go with...
It's incredible. And Drew Lock was talking to the media saying, you're going to have to ask them about this because I was told I'm QB2. This is all an interesting situation.
He's not wrong. Stink's not wrong.
It's all money. And not they're all wrong. Trying to save money. That's why they're not going with Drew Lock. That's why they're benching Daniel Jones for the insurance of it. You've got their own players. I mentioned yesterday that they're coming out and they're bitching and whining about it. But I'm into this. Misery loves company. Sure. I think our organization's bad. At least one of our rivals has it crapping going on as well.
Eric, what do you think the chances are on Thursday we once again see Tommy Cutlet's parents?
Remember that?
Yeah, they'll be there.
They were wearing like he was
high
some guy
jersey.
Was wearing a high school jersey. I'm like,
they were making sandwiches.
Goes,
and
look
all
at
kinds
this!
Of
look at this! It's Tommy Cutlet's. Look at that! It's a high school jersey. And like, and Eric goes, family. And the guy goes, like he put his thumb up. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Family. We were all here to watch him. Play.
It's beautiful. There's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, old Chuck.
Thank you.
Live from Hurtado in Arlington, it's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Krusty's Corner's now right around the corner. You're going to get a preview of that Washington Commies defense coming up at 3:40. Kevin Sheehan, Washington radio guy, joins you and tells you everything you need to know from a reporter perspective here on this football team next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Join us here. We're live in Arlington at Hurtado's, the best barbecue in the world. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's Kevin Sheehan from 980 The Team in D.C. joining us now here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Kevin. How you doing?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Well, we're doing good, thanks. Just wondering if we can have Dan Quinn back yet.
We're not giving him back, no. We're fond of him. We're pretty fond of him after 11 games.
So what are you guys thinking this season means for the foreseeable future of the organization?
Encouraged. I mean, you know, we don't have Dan Snyder here anymore. That was step one. So there's actually a reason to believe that anything's possible. And then you got a coach, you got a general manager, and I think they landed on the quarterback, which is probably the most important thing out of all of them. Jake Daniels has been great so far, and you know, I don't think it's just a rookie season. He looks like he could be a guy that they have here for years to come, and you guys know how long it's been since we've had one.
Yeah, I mean, and now you guys must be starting to look at us like we did you for the last 20 years, like, wow, they got the worst owner in the sport. We're good to go.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. I mean, there's definitely a sense of kind of role flipped. I mean, you know, the big difference is during your, you know, run here of ineptness in the postseason, you've won 12 games a bunch of times. You've won 13 games. This franchise hasn't won 11 games in a season since 1991, the last time it won a Super Bowl. And, you know, we've been looking up at the other three teams in the division for a quarter of a century with Snyder as the owner. It does feel like a new day, though. And, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that there is, you know, an occasional giggle up here as to what's going on down there. But weirdly, I think a lot of us, at least I feel this way, I would love it if both franchises were good again at the same time, because it used to be one of the great rivalries in sports, and it hasn't been that in years.
Hey, Kevin, I just was curious because we work really hard on the draft here, and I'm an LSU alum, so I'd seen Jaden Daniels play a bunch. When the pick was made, what was the fan base? Were they on board with it, or was there like, oh, damn, what have we done?
No, by the time we got to you know, draft night, I think everybody was on board with Jaden. I think it had become clear that he was, you know, worst case, the number two quarterback in the draft. I was a massive fan. I mean, I haven't gotten a lot right over the years,
sure. But
I just loved watching him last year, and I thought everything about his game was translatable to, you know, today's NFL, and, you know, it was a good pick. And he's been – the thing you never know, as you guys know, is who are these people? You know, who are they as professionals? Are they going to work at it? Are they going to be good in the locker room? Are they – you know, do they have any leadership ability? And by, you know, everybody's account, this guy's been through the roof as a person, as a pro. And, yeah, I mean, it's worked out well. I think people were excited on draft night.
How important has the Cliff Kingsbury relationship been to help that success?
I think big. I think one of the reasons he got excited about coming here, because he had other options, I think he certainly felt like they were going to take Jaden Daniels, and this was a guy that he knew a little something about. He obviously worked with Caleb Williams last year at USC, but, you know, I think there was a lot of excitement, and it's been a good fit. You know, they do a lot of the stuff that Jaden did well in college, and that's the kind of coach Cliff's been everywhere he's gone. He has essentially said, what does my guy do well? I'll design something around that, and it's worked.
Is there any struggles with this team right now? I mean, where are they weak at?
They can't stop the run. That's been a consistent problem all year long. Defensively, they did add, you know, Marshawn Lattimore here recently to a secondary that was struggling, but that's getting better. Their second-round pick, Mike Sandersville from Michigan, has played pretty well. When Lattimore gets on the field, there's a feeling that the back end will be improved. Their pass rush isn't that bad at all. Dante Fowler Jr. has actually had a really good season for them. But it's been stopping the run consistently, something I don't think you guys are even interested in doing.
No, that's been a problem for a long time, and yeah, you're right about that. Now, how about on the offensive side, running the ball themselves for Washington? How much can they punish this Cowboys defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key to Sunday. I think they've got to run the football. I think they have to stay out of one-dimensional. They've been one-dimensional at times this year, and it's worked out. Because Jaden can really throw from the pocket, you know, and they've done a decent job protecting him. But their first move is to try to run the football, not only with Brian Robinson Jr., but with the quarterback as well in the read option game. Jaden's a terrific decision maker in that game. He's a really good ball handler. And, you know, when you're 11 on 11 in the run game, it's a big benefit. They've had that advantage a big part of the year. Eckler's been great. He has been what he was a few years ago, you know, in L.A. and in San Diego. And he's been a huge part of what they've done. But, yeah, they'll try to run the football Sunday. And when they've run it well, they've been really difficult to stop.
It's Kevin Sheehan here with us here on your home of the Cowboys. Kevin, I can tell you know your football, but the way you initially answered that last question, it suggested to me that you think there's actually a chance Washington could lose this game.
You guys know the history of this thing, and yeah. We're a new franchise now. I feel that way. But it's just some of the craziest games when you least expect it in the history of this series, you know, expect it. I mean, there have been so many times when, you know, I remember a few years ago, there was a game on Monday night that Colt McCoy started. We were 12-point dogs.
Oh, gosh,
somehow
yes.
Won that game. That made no sense. There are all those games. The thing that I'm a bit concerned about is I think Mike Zimmer is a good D coordinator. I think he does a good job at confusing quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in particular. You guys, I think, are getting Bland back. You've got Parsons back. So I'm a bit, you know, concerned about not Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, which we just faced. I mean, those are two of the best defenses in the league. But you just don't want to, you know, get into the, you know, punting game, which they didn't punt, guys, for about 6 weeks. I mean, they were averaging about a half a punt per game. There's this feeling that they can get back to where they were. But I'm just a little bit concerned that Zimmer's going to have an impact on this game.
Kevin, would there be concern with Brandon Coleman at left tackle? Is that an area that you feel like that maybe you might, across that offensive line, that maybe some people have kind of figured out about rushing him on the inside and trying to get to your quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, up against guys like Josh Sweat and Alex Highsmith and Watt and others that he's faced, it's been tough. You know, I don't know if they'll line up Parsons opposite him, but they like him a lot. You know, you guys
sure.
might be familiar with him. He was at TCU. He's
yeah.
huge. He's athletic as hell, and there's definitely a future. And he's had some really good games, but they were up against it the last two games, guys. I mean, Pittsburgh was outstanding. Philadelphia might be the best defensive team in the league right now. Yeah. With the way they're playing. And I just think that the last two opponents had something to do with everybody offensively struggling. But Coleman's had some really good moments. He's been banged up and faced two really tough opponents. They've got Cornelius Lucas that can play too. They've platooned the two of them at times. The offensive line, for the most part this year, has held up.
Yeah. Kevin, a lot of former Cowboys obviously on that roster, but one we had talked about a lot was Bobby Wagner. Dan Quinn and Bobby Wagner reuniting, the price was never right for the Cowboys. And then we were wondering, okay, well, at this stage in his career, how good is he? How's the Bobby Wagner impact been there with that DQ defense?
Huge on the field and perhaps even bigger in the locker room. You know, one of the things that DQ did is he brought in guys that he thought would help change what was a really bad culture for a long period of time. Wagner was part of that. Ertz was part of that. Eckler was part of that. Guys that were familiar with him in Seattle and in Dallas, you know, we've obviously got Armstrong and Biotish as part of Fowler Jr. as well. I'll tell you, the guy that's been outstanding from the jump has been Frankie Louvu.
Yeah.
He has turned into their best defender by far. Excellent pass rusher. Quinn's used him in similar ways to the way he used Parsons in Dallas, moves them around a lot. He is definitely their best pass rusher. They've got good pieces defensively. It just hasn't added up consistently to a good defense, especially against the run. But, yeah, Wagner's been huge. These guys actually had a plan, and there's been no plan here for a quarter century, and the culture was terrible. And we thought this was just kind of year one of turning the culture around, but I think Jaden made it something different.
Yeah. Have they solved the problem of FedEx Field raining down poo water on the fan base from time to time?
Well, we don't have big sheets of metal dropping on people's heads, so that's a good start.
It's a fair counterpunch.
Gosh dang it, Kevin, we have nothing we can say now. Yeah. I mean, this is terrible.
Look, you guys have been able to do this to us for 25 years, so let us enjoy a moment or two. You know, we just have to get back to winning some of these games. Some of the results in recent years have been so lopsided. And, you know, doing well within the division, I think, would really, I think it would embolden a lot of people around here who have felt like we've been a punching bag for so long. And people of a certain age like me remember when this was a real franchise and was, you know, a beacon in the NFL, and yours as well. And, you know, at some point, maybe we'll both be back there at the same time.
And, of course, we'll always have the Giants to beat up on.
Yeah. Giants, yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Sheehan, morning host at 980 The Team in D.C. with us here in the G-Bag Nation.
How about the pipes on that guy?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's fantastic, man. He's got a really good show.
That's a radio man right there. Yeah.
I don't know what I hated worse, you know, his excitement about the Commanders or his golden pipes. Yeah. But he was an outstanding guest. No, he was. And you can hear the excitement, you know. And it kind of makes you sick.
Yeah, it has.
This is RG3 2.0. It really is. And we dodged a bullet on that one over a decade ago. And, you know, I don't think we're going to dodge it this time. Yeah. Old Dan Snyder's not around to screw it up. And obviously that injury bug does not strike like that too often. Okay, we are live. Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. You know the place. You love it. If you don't, you got to join us here for some of the best barbecue you'll have. Plus, Krusty's Corner is coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, Kevin gave you a pretty good insight of some players to look at. I'll talk about those guys in depth on this Commanders defense. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Get to Hurtado. Enjoy some of the best barbecue in the world. The best barbecue in the world. I can't believe I keep saying some of the. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Krusty's Corner Time brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We're talking hoop coming up at 4 o'clock. Chief's going to kick you a rim session, but here's Brian in the corner.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being on. And thank you to Hurtado for being such great host out here today. The food, the atmosphere, the Tolos out, everybody having a good time here. Beautiful day. Great day to come out here and listen to us. Sit out on the patio. Grab you some cold beverages and stuff, man. That looks just awesome. Kind of reminds me of my college days.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Going out, those days, those beautiful days, you used to sit out on the patio.
Oh, yeah.
You never take your sunglasses off because your eyes were just blood red.
You know? God. For a multitude of different reasons.
Yeah, multitude of different reasons.
Did they have the clear eyes back then? Clear eyes are 10 out of 10, dude.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what we had. Visine, is that the same thing?
Visine will get the job done to an extent, but
really,
that clear eye, level up.
Full hearts and can't lose, man.
Yeah, I just didn't even bother. People just knew I was a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, they figured, Bras has been
sitting on the... Oh, there's over there without his clothes on again.
Yeah, I'd take my credit card, lick it, and stick it on my forehead, you know, and I just like, yeah, let's go, you know, kind of a thing. I'd just hear, you know, the tab. The funniest thing was my signature at the end of one of those nights.
Just scribbles.
Just like, who? You know, I mean, like, what? You know, like, hey, can I have your autograph? Sure. You know, just a terrible signature, but got the job done.
Some things never change.
Some things never change. Some things never change is your boy Dan Quinn on defense.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Dan Quinn has got, I'll tell you what, Dan Quinn has got one of the best tackling defenses in the National Football League, by the way.
But not against the run?
Nah, not against the run, though. Top five. You know, when he was here, Dallas was the best tackling team. I didn't know this. Dallas was the best tackling team in the National Football League last year.
Mm.
And everywhere Dan Quinn's been, he's been in top five.
See, you got to figure out what drills is he doing.
That's what I was trying to remember. I was trying to think of, like, God, how many of these practices did I watch in training camp? And what was Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and all these guys doing? You know, I was sitting there probably talking to you or Dawson or somebody while I should have been watching tackling drills, because everywhere Dan Quinn goes, his teams tackle, you know. And the Cowboys have really It's one of the things they've really, really struggled at. But
we were on it last year when we were talking about you should probably just cap Mike McCarthy and make Dan Quinn head coach. Now that we saw what he's done, finding the offensive coordinator again.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that there's some people in the organization, in the Cowboys organization, that would have dancing right with you on that.
I think
one.
There were a lot that would have been happy, but yeah. I mean, revisionist history. We were like, can't the defenses aren't good against these motion offenses, and they don't beat any good teams. They get run on. I guess the running thing though seems to still be the case. Like Dan Quinn does struggle defensively against
been,
the run.
There's been some struggle there. Their leading tacklers actually is Bobby Wagner and the two safeties. What does that tell you right there?
Yeah,
they're
getting runs.
Third level. They're getting, And I told you earlier, nobody, I mean, they're like top three in allowing runs that first downs. Like 93 first down, you know, conversion runs.
Yeah.
Because they just don't, they give up, you know, they just give up yards running. Now, we'll see. Their pass rush has gotten a lot better. And the first 5 weeks of the season, they were down in pressure rates. But since week five, and I looked this up because I was like, I watched all the sacks, and I broke them down by pressures and stuff. I just started watching, and the Commanders, and I was curious about this, and I went and looked at the metrics on this. They've generated the third highest pressure rate of 41% since week five in the league. They blitzed the opponents now the seventh highest since week five as well. So when our guy was talking about Frankie Luva, and they got Frankie from the Carolina Panthers. And he's absolutely right. He wears number 4. Dan's using him like he used Micah Parsons. Like he will bring him on a blitz through the A-gap, or he'll rush him from the outside, or he'll bring him on a twist. They've got guys that can legitimately create pressure. Dante Fowler's done a really good job. We've talked about him not playing very much for the Cowboys, rotational player. Now he's a full-time starter, and he looks like Dante Fowler that when he was drafted way back in the day, because he is getting off the football. He's causing some problems.
He's built for it.
He could play either side. They're playing him actually more though on the right side. And then what's funny there, Wooly, is Dorrance Armstrong, who's usually a right side player, is playing on the left side.
Oh, he is. He switched.
Wow. So what they've done is to get him and Fowler more involved, and then Frankie Luva. And then what they've also done is this Daron Payne. We all know about Daron Payne. You know, they lost Jonathan Allen against the Ravens on a pec injury. So he's done for the year. So they got Newton, our Illinois guy.
And he slid. Yeah, we thought he'd go a little higher.
Second round guy. A lot of people had him in the first round.
But yeah.
Ended up going the second round to the Commanders, and he's kind of filled in. So they could push the middle, and then they got the pressure off the edge, and then they bring their linebacker on the blitz. So you got Frankie Luva and Bobby Wagner, both have double-digit pressures this year. So if they get you in a situation where they feel like they need to rush the passer, they're going to bring some type of blitz. Where they have struggled a little bit. Now, I went and watched all the touchdowns against them. It was the way I could break that down. Just one after another, watched all the touchdowns. You get them down in the red zone, they can't cover a tight end. Now, here's the problem, Wooly. Ferguson's not playing in this football game.
Yeah, so you need Scooney and Spanford again to step up.
They've given up 5 touchdowns this year to tight ends in the red zone. And I was watching them, and I was like going, damn, that was a tight end again. The Ravens, you see the Giants had 2. You're seeing touchdowns by the tight ends down in the red zone. So if Dallas somehow, it's Schoonmaker, it's Spanford, it's Fant, this is a game you surely could have used Ferguson to play in this game, because they've had some problems like taking the tight ends and covering them. Now, these corners, I'll say this about their corners. Benjamin St. Juste, teams have had some success throwing the football on him. You look at quarterback ratings for both St. Juste, and you look at also for the rookie Stansastill. You look at him, and to me, that's kind of where I feel like though, Ig Magnaghany is playing nickel for them.
He's actually getting playing time.
Yeah, he's the star. That's why they go out and they get Marshawn Lattimore,
But unfortunately, he's got that hammy.
He's got
and
the
he
hammy.
He still hasn't been practicing.
He hasn't been practicing and all that.
He always has a hammy.
Yeah. So to me, there's some
always hammy.
There's some things in the secondary. Emmanuel Forbes, who I was asking you about earlier from Mississippi yeah. State, not a factor on this end. That was a first round pick a couple years ago, and just has not been a factor at all for these Commanders. So some things in the secondary, running the football, teams have had some success doing that. The pass rush is their best strength as far as their defense goes. But their pass rush, if you could block their front, is like we like to say, maybe there's some things to happen with this secondary. Again, I would look at Noah Imbignagne, I would look at him and just kind of think about maybe attacking him out of that nickel spot. You know, because he's had some issues there, and like we kind of understand. So the Cowboys have some familiarity, some understanding of how to maybe go after him, maybe how to handle Dorrance Armstrong, and maybe how to handle Dante Fowler on this defensive side of the ball. So it's a lot
of commonality there.
Yeah, a lot
is
of commonality.
Is that a word? Commonality.
That's a word.
That is right.
Yeah,
I thought
this
it was.
This sounds doable though, Brian.
It sounds doable, though, if you're going to get Cooks back. Now, what do you guys think about? Does that help your situation with getting Cooks back in the lineup? With the receiving group, does it help you, or do you feel like that?
I think it
the
at least
hay's already
you,
in the barn.
It gives you a threat. I don't plan on him producing much more than about 3 catches for 20 yards. If I had to set an over under, but I think yeah, you know, if he lines up. The defense has to think about him going deep, and I don't think anybody else on this team other than Tolbert has the kind of speed to make you worrisome. So maybe, you know, he has big playability, and if it's a close game, maybe he can be the difference, but
he had just
I wouldn't
done,
bet on it.
He had just done nothing to start the season before he went down.
They won't use Turpin in that way. They won't try, you know, they won't go anything vertical
no.
with Turpin.
Which is so frustrating yeah. about this. It's just the lack of utilizing the players that you do have and putting them in the best position to succeed. And that's a direct reflection of the coach.
See, this is where, to me, in this game, this is where it would be if you were trying to win it, which I think they're trying to win the game. But this is where you would play, if they're not good defending the run.
Play Lance.
Play Trey Lance.
Yep.
Play Trey Lance, play an RPO offense, and make them have to defend that.
Mm-hmm.
Make
yeah.
them have to keep them out of that, you know, keep them out of blitzing you. You know, make them have to defend, you know, make Fowler have to defend the edge when
well,
he's
maybe,
interested in getting up the field.
Could be a come to Jesus meeting, you know, after the game. If you play boring Cooper Rush and
yeah.
you don't run the ball well enough and you get blown out again. I could see, you know, Jerry pressing like, hey, let's try Trey Lance.
I would, yeah, you know how I feel about that whole thing. I would have
yeah.
done it 2 weeks ago, and then I would have said, if you don't want to play Trey Lance, then I'm getting another coach. I'm somebody else. You can pack your boxes up and go because I'm going to play Trey Lance here and kind of figure some things out with Trey Lance.
Yeah, I like the idea of them already having Trey Lance and not even worrying about the Commanders. He's just game planning now for the Giants game because it's going to be a Thanksgiving duel, Lance and Cutlets.
That could be last Jerry-ditch effort. You know, just save Lance for some excitement for Thanksgiving. Okay, now we're switching quarterbacks. Everybody, let's go. It's Trey Lance time, baby. Turkey day.
This would be a fun test, though, for the interior of the offensive line, BB versus Payne.
Yeah.
You know, that type of challenge.
Yeah,
are you going to
yeah.
have Zach Martin?
Might not have Tyler
See,
Smith.
See, that's the one I think you have to worry about. Tyler Smith, I believe, is going to play. Keep an eye on Martin. That one's trending not a very good way right now.
We kind of glossed over it earlier in the program, but when Broadus mentioned that Martin got freaking throat punched Monday
yeah.
night.
Was that a penalty?
I mean, dear God, was that a closed fist? I think that's probably the...
That's when he was down on one knee. He
is
got
that
hit
the worst place on the body to get punched?
Throat punch?
No,
I mean,
I think
obviously
it,
you're
I,
downstairs.
No, I think in the
okay, outside.
I'd rather take between the legs.
Would you? Okay.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I get where you're going.
Throat punch, you might not be able to breathe.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a kill shot, dude.
I'm thinking throat
Could
punch
be.
Is worse.
Like, the idea that he was able to even...
You can't breathe if you get hit down there either, though, man. That's tough.
But that's just a pain tolerance nausea thing. This is actually not being able to breathe, possibly.
Yeah. Like, no one can take a throat punch. Like,
no
you don't train for that.
No.
Like, that is an unhittable area. The fact that, who did that?
Who punched him?
I need to look at that. I'll look at it on tape.
Yeah, look at it on tape.
But I heard he got throat punched. That's why he took the knee.
Okay. Yeah, that's an understandable knee. That's like the most understandable knee taking of all time.
I'll see you throat punch.
I'd be out for the season.
The throat punch penalty, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. We got Mavs news earlier, a superstar out for at least a week, Chief. We got a rim session coming up.
Yes, Embiid lashes out, and we have a new twist on the All-Star game. And how will the Mavs fare without Luka next year in the nation?